Good morning, everybody. This is Paul Hutchings calling in from Southeast Idaho. It is wonderful Wednesday, December 21st, 2011. And yes, it is a great day to be alive. It is a great day to be alive, aware, awake, enthusiastic, as our good friend Denise reminds us every morning. I love that. It is a good day to roll out of bed and do as Brian Tracy suggests and swing your right arm all the way across your body and say, I feel terrific. It is
That's
a great
right.
day, my friend. So glad to be here with you and so glad to be here with my good friend, Mr. Bill Hartraft. And this morning we're going to be treated. Bill is going to finish out the chapter on autosuggestion, beginning with the headline, Summary of Instructions. He's going to go back over the Summary of Instructions so that we can be very clear on what we are to do in order to program, reprogram, and influence and tap into the incredible power of the subconscious mind, which we all have within us. Bill, take it away.
Thanks, Paul. Good morning, everybody. And I just want to start this off by saying I do care, but if you have suffered from the worst challenges in your life, depending on your age, depending on what you've been through, depending on your age and how old you are and how many challenges you've been through, whether you suffer from depression, bipolar, you're paralyzed, you have cancer, you've had problems, you've had divorces, you've had children die, you've had divorce in your life, you've had whatever challenges you've dealt with, I promise you that if you believe, you truly believe in yourself and believe in what we're talking about here today, this really works. I've spent a lot of time on this chapter. I went through this book again last night. I read it back in the 80s, and I'm rereading it again now. And, oh, my goodness, is it reopening a whole world for me. I feel so blessed to be here. And Paul knows a lot more about me than most of you, but I've dealt with just tremendous, tremendous challenges in my life. My best friend in New York who I was talking to last night, I've known him since 1965. We were next-door neighbors. Through divorce, my parents got divorced, and my mother moved in next to him. And we've known each other for almost 50 years. And so he said to me last night, he said, Bill, you've been through 10 men's challenges in lifetime. He said, look at my life compared to yours. Look at all you've been through. It's just incredible. And look how well you're doing today. And you still manage. You still get through it all. And you know, he asked me, how did you do it? How do you have such a great attitude? And I said, I didn't always have this great attitude. I wasn't always this positive. I've been down. I've been at the bottom. I have suffered. I have cried. I have felt sorry for myself. I've even given up. Yes, I gave up. I gave up in 1998. Life was so horrible for me after the assault in 96. I was carjacked, for those of you that don't know. And in 98, my insurance dumped me, and all of a sudden I was left with these huge bills. I didn't know how I was going to pay them, and I really didn't want to pay them because I didn't do it to myself. You know, I was attacked, and 98 was terrible, and then 2007 was terrible because I'd fallen in love with a girl and she died from breast cancer after a four-year fight while I was still going through my physical challenges trying to overcome them. So, I mean, those are just a few of the things I've been through. So whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through, if you don't believe in yourself, start believing in yourself, because every single one of us has been given a God-given talent, a God-given ability. So help me, God, I could break down in tears right now, but if I can get to where I am today after what I've been through, then I know that we're all different and that we all think differently and that our programming is differently, but we all have inherit the same, you know, talent inside, the same abilities. And so when I talk about, you know, these instructions here today, if you do them, you will have success in whatever it is you desire. And that is what is so powerful about the summary of instructions. And here they are. The fact that you are reading this book is an indication that you earnestly seek knowledge. It is also an indication that you are a student of this subject. If you are only a student, there is a chance that you may learn much that you did not know, but you will learn only by assuming an attitude of humility. If you choose to follow some of the instructions, but neglect or refuse to follow others, you will fail. To get satisfactory results, you must follow all instructions in a spirit of faith. Believing is seeing. The instructions given in connection with the six steps in the second chapter will now be summarized and blended with the principles covered by this chapter as follows. First, go into some quiet spot, preferably in bed at night, where you will not be disturbed or interrupted. Close your eyes and repeat aloud, so you may hear your own words, the written statement of the amount of money, as Paul has said so many times, our defining purpose, the written statement of the amount of money you intend to accumulate, the time limit for its accumulation, and a description of the service or merchandise you intend to give in return for the money. As you carry out these instructions, see yourself already in possession of that amount of money. See yourself already in possession of that amount of money. For example, suppose that you intend to accumulate. Now, this is kind of funny. This paragraph speaks of January. We're not talking about January of this year, but just play along here. For example, suppose that you intend to accumulate $50,000 by the 1st of January, 5 years hence, that you intend to give personal services in return for the money in the capacity of a salesman. Your written statement of your purpose should be similar to the following. By the first day of January 19th, I will have in my possession $50,000, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In return for this money, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best quality of service in the capacity of salesman of, and then describe the service or merchandise you intend to sell. I believe that I will have the money in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this money before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the services I intend to render in return for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this money, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Repeat this program night and morning until you can see, in your imagination, the money you intend to accumulate. This is what Paul does, everybody. This is what Paul does morning and night. We've heard him say it over and over and over again. And look at his success. He's having huge success. Third, place a written copy of your statement where you can see it at night and morning and read it just before retiring and upon arising until it has been memorized. Like, I've memorized my mission statement, but that's not enough. We'll talk about that later. Remember, as you carry out these instructions, that you are applying the principle of autosuggestion for the purpose of giving orders to your subconscious mind. Remember also that your subconscious mind will act only upon instructions which are emotionalized and handed over to it with feeling. Faith is the strongest and the most productive of the emotions. Follow the instructions given in the chapter on faith. These instructions may at first seem abstract to you. Do not let this disturb you. Follow the instructions. No matter how abstract or impractical they may seem at first, or appear to be. The time will soon come. If you do as you have been instructed, in spirit as well as in act, a whole new universe of power will unfold to you. Now, skepticism in connection with all new ideas is characteristic of all human beings. It's our human nature. But if you follow the instructions outlined, your skepticism will soon be replaced by belief. And this, in turn, will soon become crystallized into absolute faith. Absolute faith. Then you will have arrived at the point where you may truly say, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. How powerful is that to be able to say that? Most of us can't say that, not yet. Paul is saying that, but most of us can't. Many philosophers have made the statement that man is the master of his own earthly destiny, but most of them have failed to say why he is the master. The reason that man may be the master of his own and especially his financial status is thoroughly explained in this chapter. Man may become the master of himself and of his environment because he has the power to influence his own subconscious mind and through it gain the cooperation of infinite intelligence. You are now reading the chapter which represents the keystone to the arch of this philosophy. The instructions contained in this chapter must be understood and applied with persistence, night and morning. If you succeed in transmuting desire into money, applied with persistence. The actual performance of transmuting desire into money involves the use of autosuggestion as an agency by which one may reach and influence the subconscious mind. The other principles are simply tools with which to apply autosuggestion. Keep this thought in mind, and you will at all times be conscious of the important part the principle of autosuggestion is to play in your efforts to accumulate money through the methods described in this book. Carry out these instructions as though you were a small child. Inject into your efforts something of the faith of a child. The author has been most careful to see that no impractical instructions were included, because of his sincere desire to be helpful to all of us. After you have read the entire book, come back to this chapter and follow in spirit and in action this instruction. And my instruction is, I would do this right away. Start working it over the Christmas holiday. I mean, if you're busy with family, work on it afterwards, but start working on it right away. Start writing your affirmations. This is huge. And repeat them, and then record them, and then play them back to yourself so you can hear your own voice. And then eventually you'll memorize them so you'll be able to reiterate them every single day when you wake up and every single night when you go to bed. Read the entire chapter out loud once every night until you become thoroughly convinced that the principle of autosuggestion is sound, that it will accomplish for you all that has been claimed for it. As you read, underscore with a pencil every sentence which impresses you favorably. Follow the foregoing instruction to the letter, and it will open the way for complete understanding and mastery of the principles of success. Now, when I was going through this last night and this morning, it made me do a mental look at the kind of training I did back when I was a corporate trainer for Nutrition for Life and how they trained me to train their people. And of course I was also training, you know, company stuff and how the marketing program worked and so on. So it was a very involved training, but I realized that I was already doing this. I just wasn't doing it this way. Not this way, not this specific, not this way, not the way that Think and Grow Rich preaches it. But I was still doing it in a form of it. And actually the whole training series, core values, everybody has worth, a mission statement, self-advertising, you know, putting pictures up around your house or your home to, you know, kind of show you some of the things that you're shooting for, to build desire, to have a bucket list, all these things. You know, getting up in the morning and looking into your soul and realizing that I really am a good, decent human being, and I deserve just as much as the next guy, regardless of the challenges I've been through. You deserve, each one of us deserves just as much as the next guy. And, you know, with all the success and failure, but with all the success that I've had that Paul talks about, tremendous failure in there. Oh, my God, just tremendous failure. So many times where I had to pull my bootstraps back up, where I was actually at the point where I just felt like I couldn't do it anymore. And I really thought the end was near. And so all I can say to you is that it's coming back. I'm coming back. And this is a huge blessing for me. And I believe it. I believe it. And I know there are going to be more challenges ahead. There are going to be more challenges ahead for all of us. But if we have the frame of mind and we have the belief in ourselves and we have the good, decent, kind hearts like Paul Hutchings and Bernie in Montana and Dee and DJ and Cynthia in New York and Christine and Tanya and Rick Martin and Denise Bowler and all the other wonderful people that are on this call, and Mike and all the other people in Florida that I didn't mention, and I apologize if I didn't mention your names, but you're all beautiful, beautiful people, and we all deserve what everybody else has seemed to have attained in their lives. And we seem to be struggling. Well, what do they have that we don't have? Maybe they've read this book. Maybe they're doing this and we just don't know it. But whatever works, Napoleon Hill has been around for 100 years and this works. And, you know, it's funny because this call is so powerful to me this morning because this morning I got up extra early, 4 a.m. this morning. I could not sleep for the life of me, so I came in and I started reading. And my e-book here right on the computer. And then Joyce Myers was on. And what did Joyce Myers talk about on her show this morning? But believing is seeing. But if you don't know how to receive, if you don't know how to receive faith, you have to open your heart up to receive good. And if you don't open your heart up to receive good, if you don't allow yourself to receive good, you won't. You won't. That's why so many people say, well, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. That's why you have to believe. So believe in yourself. And, you know, you will believe more what you say out of your own lips than what I can say or what Paul can say or what anybody can say. You're going to believe what you speak out of your own lips. So this is 10 times more powerful to you in auto-suggestion, what you write down for your own personal affirmations and repeat to yourself in the morning and in the evening. 10 times more powerful to you because you'll believe yourself 10 times more, 50% more than what you'll believe from Paul or myself. So do this, follow this. I did this back in the 80s, not exactly this way, but by teaching people to write down their goals. That is another form of this, writing down your action steps. And I still believe you should do that. I still believe you should do that. Goals and action steps, it's all a form of time management. We can get into that another time, or you guys can Facebook me or call me or what have you, and I'd be glad to help you with it. But do this. This really works. I've seen it. Paul?
Beautiful job, Bill. As I was listening to you, I'm sitting here in my office chair, closing my eyes, hearing you read the words of this chapter, and just being reminded of the incredible power that's contained here. You know, Napoleon said that what you just read to us represents the keystone in the arc of this whole philosophy on thinking and growing rich. This chapter right here, that's how important it is. And as you were reading through the statement of the desire, you know, I just had these feelings of faith that came back to me as I put myself back in my own mind as I've gone through this statement so many times over the past year and a half. And this feeling of faith that's come to me, it's a beautiful thing. It's something, as Napoleon says that can't hardly be described to someone who hasn't experienced it. But it came from sitting down or laying in my bed, closing my eyes, and doing exactly what he just shared with us to do. And again, don't make it too big on, you know, don't put too much on yourself. If nothing else, just start with this. This is where we start. By the first day of June 2012, I will have in my possession $3,000 monthly residual income, $2,000, $10,000, whatever it is for you, $500, whatever is going to, you know, be exciting to you, that's the amount you put in. And you continue on, and you close your eyes, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this money, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable in the capacity of such and such. And then I believe that I will have this money in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can touch it with my hands. And do you know, when I say that to myself, my eyes are closed and I reach my hands out and I tap my fingers together and I hold that check in my hands and I can see it. I can touch it with my hands. My faith is so strong. I can see this money in my possession. I can touch it with my hands. And as you do this, as he says, in the beginning, maybe the faith won't be so strong. But as you continue to do this with emotion and have the faith of a child, your faith will grow, your emotion will grow, and you will develop this sweet gift that can only be given to yourself, by performing these steps and accessing the power of the infinite. And it's just an amazing gift. You know, I couldn't think of any better gift that we could give ourselves for Christmas this year, but this gift of faith, this gift that we have confidence in ourselves, we have confidence in the ability that we can manifest whatever it is that we want to manifest into our lives. There's nothing more, it's the most priceless thing, or one of the most priceless things that we can have in our lives. So, Bill, beautiful job on that. Thank you so much for sharing that with me and everybody on the call. I can't go through this stuff enough, because every time I hear these words, it just pushes it stuff deeper. It pushes it deeper into my soul, and it reaffirms the truths that have been shared with us thus far, and have been shared with me. You know, the many times that I've studied this book, you can't read this stuff enough. I mean, it truly is life changing. So, I know I sound like a broken record again and again and again, but follow Bill's instructions, follow Napoleon's instructions. Let's do it. Let's be clear on what we're being asked to do here in the summary of instructions. Night and morning, get yourself into a quiet place. Write it out if you need to. Read it aloud. See it in your mind's eye, and, you know, great things are going to happen. So, thank you again, Bill. Let's go ahead and open up the lines real quick here. Press *6 on your line to unmute your line. Any questions? Want to make sure that we're all very, very clear on our instructions here. Or any comments, any experiences anyone's had. Would love to hear from everyone on the call.
Good morning. Hi, this is Cynthia calling from New York.
Good morning, Cynthia.
I wanted to share something that happened that, you know, to me it was a testimony of how Think and Grow Rich works. My mother and I were reminiscing the other day about the fact that when we were kids, my mother was a single mother. When we were kids, we would go over another family that it was a mother with three kids. We would go over their house for the holidays, so that, you know, we would have kids to play with and stuff like that, and the mothers can join together and, you know, cook the big dinners and stuff like that. So we would go over there probably for about 4 or 5 years. We went over there every Christmas or every Thanksgiving. Well, they lived in a house. We lived in an apartment in New York City, and they lived in a house. And I loved their house. You know, as a kid, the house looked huge to me. They had a fireplace. They had a basement that we could go play in. They had three bedrooms. Everybody had their own bedroom. You know, and me and my family, we lived in it was four people in a two-bedroom apartment. The girls were in one room. You know, so it was just such a treat. And it just, you know, from a little girl, the 10-year-old little girl standpoint, it was, wow, we get to go to this fabulous house. Well, my mother and I were reminiscing about, you know, the wonderful Christmases we used to have with that family. And she reminded me that now I live in the same house. The exact same layout is the house that I live in. And I did not even remember that. It was so, you know, and I thought about it, how much I loved that house every time I went there, how much I said, oh, when I grow up, I want to live in a house like that. How wonderful would it be to live in a house like that? And to look, you know, 30 years later, and I live in that house is absolutely remarkable to me, and it reminded me, as you guys have said, that when you dream about it with passion. When you envision it with love in your heart, because it does come to pass. So I just had to share that with everybody, because it really, I didn't even remember that it was the same house. So
amazing. Thank you for sharing.
Michael
that.
In Tampa.
Hey, Michael.
How you doing, Brent?
Good. Welcome to the call.
Hey, I've got a story similar to that with a different ending. It's kind of amusing. When I was a young man, probably 18 or 19, I was an apprentice carpenter. And I remember being on a job, and I see the superintendent come on the job, and he was driving a white Cadillac and wearing some cowboy boots, and he had on a white shirt and looking really cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, that's what I want to do. I'm going to be doing that. Well, you know what? I ended up being a contractor. I'm a contractor in Florida now, and
mm-hmm.
I spent my whole career building. I wish I'd have seen an entrepreneur come on the job or the owner of the home. You know what I mean? In other
uh-huh.
words, I set my goals too low.
You became what you saw, but you realized it wasn't really what you wanted, because you didn't understand what you were asking for.
Right. I somewhere along the line, I should have reset my goals. Now I'm retired and I'm resetting them.
Awesome.
And
well,
then the second comment is, I need some help after the call if we can.
Yeah, not immediately after the call. I've got kind of a morning routine that I go through, gym, personal preparation, but a little bit later on this morning I can give you a call.
All right, the new website's kicking my butt.
Okay, yeah, we'll get through it.
Okay.
Thanks for the comment, Michael.
Hey, Bill, this is Gene from Clearwater. How do I get a hold of you on Facebook?
You can look for Bill Hartranft, H-A-R-T. That's Hart, and then it's like you ran away, R-A-N, F is in Frank, T is in Tom, and I have a sign on there, a sign on my picture, which says, you have never really lived until you have done something for somebody else that they can never repay you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Facebook me, and it also says on there, Hope for You, $1 million Mindset Training. Okay?
All right, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Hey, this is Rick from California.
Rick Martin, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? It's a great morning. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So good days. Listen, I wanted to add something that I learned and I thought about a lot, and it had to do with, you know, we talk about faith and all that and everything on this call, which is wonderful. And what I really truly believe in, I learned this from a gentleman by the name of Michael Lozier. He wrote the book, The Law of Attraction, The Science of Getting More of What You Want and Less of What You Don't. And what you talked about, you know, you can repeat your affirmations daily. But if you have doubt, if you have any doubt that what you're asking for, what you're repeating over and over, that will either delay or even cancel out what it is that you want. And so what he said was, what you want to do is allow it. And he said, how you allow that is to remove doubt. So anytime that you and gave a tool, one of the tools he gave to remove your doubt, if you catch you saying something like, I can't because, or this or that, well, what you want to do at that very moment is ask yourself, well, what do you want? What is it you want? You know, and then you say what you want. He also said, you know, what you also want to do is anytime that you feel like you'd receive something, you want to at that very moment give thanks for that and identify that at the point and find those references, you know, to reinforce your belief. Because having fear and faith at the same time cannot coexist in the same place. The one's going to cancel the other one out. I thought that was kind of interesting and important because when you're younger, you don't really have that much doubt when you're in the younger stages. There's not that much negatives come about in life at that point. So you don't really have any doubt. You know you're going to get something and you believe it, and so it manifests. And so I thought that was something I'd like to share with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Very key, very important. And, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, Denise the other day gave us all a great suggestion, which was to think about our thinking all through the day. And an interesting point is that doubt or faith or thoughts of faith and expectancy are thoughts that we can literally control in our mind. If we have a doubt come into our mind and we're watching our thoughts, as Denise suggested, we literally can cancel out that doubt by just replacing it with the thought of our major definite purpose. One of the laws of the mind is that the mind must think, and the mind thinks exclusively. So in other words, the mind can only hold one thought in the mind at one time. So if you have a thought of doubt, but you're watching your thoughts, just instantly replace it with the vision of what you're moving forward to attain, and that doubt will automatically be cast from your mind because your mind can only think of one thing. So great point, Rick. I think it's important that we watch our minds, watch our thoughts all throughout the day, and we realize that we absolutely can control those thoughts, and we can get rid of any doubts that may creep into and probably will creep into, because that's, you know, natural tendency. The weeds like to grow in the garden, but we've got to pluck them out as soon as we see them sprouting up.
Exactly. Yeah, I just want to add and say to everybody that I know I said before that I didn't do this specifically, but I guarantee you, as I'm sitting right here, and Paul and I even talked about this specifically yesterday, how I was going to do this, because I don't have specific recording devices and so on, and we figured out a way how to do it. Paul's going to help me with that, of course, because he's the young internet success here. I'm not big on the internet, at least not yet, but I'm learning. And I just wanted to say that I am going to follow these instructions to the letter of the law of what it says in this book. Yes, you know, most of us say that, you know, when we're in network marketing and we want to work with people, we want to work with coachable people. And a lot of people think, well, you're a big national trainer and you've spoken to thousands of people before, you're not coachable. Well, I'll tell you what, I've opened up my heart and I've opened up my mind because of this host that we have, Paul Hutchings. I'm inspired by him. I'm inspired by the kind of life that I can remember in my 30s, when I was in my mid-30s and so successful. And I want that back in the worst way, not necessarily the success, not necessarily the money either, but the feeling I had, the life I had, the just being able to conquer things without, you know, so much despair and so much hurt and so much loss. And I know we've all suffered with that and stew over that. And just like Paul said the other day, you know, he's a decision maker now. And that's what I was, too, in my mid-30s and or all through my 30s and you know, later on, too. But it started to melt away as the pain progression and so on in my life with the recovering from the assault. So it was very, very hard. And as I even told Paul yesterday, you know, I'm coming back. This is a new life for me. I'm starting all over again. I'm just like everybody else out there. The only exception is that I have memories of what it was like back in those days. So I'm starting anew, and I just want everybody to know that what I read here today, I'm doing to the letter of the law of what these instructions state. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm not doing what it says here as well. So I just wanted to get that out. So I'm going to do it. Paul's already doing. Look at Paul's success. It's huge. I'm following in his footsteps, 20 years ahead of him in life, but 20 years behind him in this. And but all of us can catch up in an instant if we do this. I know it. I've seen it. So take my word for it and then start speaking it from your lips. It will happen. Paul?
I'm committed too, Bill, and I love hearing you say that. Let's all say that. We're committed. I'm committed. Committed to following these instructions. And let's get out there today and move forward with faith. Let us eradicate all doubt, all fear, the enemies of achievement from our lives. Let us move forward with that vision that we see in our minds every morning and every night when we close our eyes and repeat to ourselves our major definite purpose. And let us move forward, plow through temporary setbacks. Let us get out there and make it a great day. I love you guys. Thanks for being on the call. Thank you, Bill, as always. And we'll see you back on the line tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Make it a great day, everyone.
God bless you, everybody.